Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank you for joining us today. This conference will be dedicated to presenting Grupo Arcos financial results at the close of the fourth quarter of 2025. Here with us today are Jorge Mario Velázquez, Alejandro Piedrahita, Rafael Olivella, and the management teams from Odinsa, the real estate business, and Pactia. I would like to remind you that all the information for the quarter, along with the presentation we'll be using during the conference call, is available on our website. To download it, go to the Financial Information menu and then to the Report section. We are also broadcasting this results conference via an X Space. I invite you to move on to slide three of the presentation to begin the meeting, for which I give the floor to Jorge Mario Velázquez, CEO of Grupo Arcos.
Good morning to everyone. Thank you, Carolina. I would like to express my special thanks to you all for joining us today. Today, we are going to present our results at the close of 2025, year of solid financial and operational performance for Grupo Arcos and its businesses, and also of strategic achievements that reaffirm our commitment and conviction in the company's ability to continue generating value for all its shareholders and stakeholders. The organization not only manages a robust base of assets in infrastructure and construction materials, but it also has a portfolio of projects worth close to 10 billion to capitalize on the growing demand for these sectors throughout its entire geographical footprint. Let's talk about the performance of our actions in 2025. In 2025, the organization took a decisive step in its history with the execution of the spin-off project, which ended the cross-shareholdings between Grupo Arcos and Grupo Sura. As a result, our shareholders increased their investment in Grupo Arcos by over 20%, and they received 0.23 Grupo Sura shares for each share they held previously in the company. With this milestone, Grupo Arcos consolidated its position as a company 100% focused on construction materials and infrastructure, with a robust portfolio of projects, a presence in 19 countries and territories with leading businesses in its sector, and as a simpler and more specialized and focused issuer. The transaction created a virtuous circle with benefits for shareholders, for Grupo Arcos, and for the capitals market, reflected in the share performance during 2025. At year-end, the combined value, considering the stake in Grupo Arcos plus 0.23 Grupo Sura shares that each shareholder received, was equivalent to approximately 30,000 pesos per ordinary share and 23,000 pesos per preferred share. These figures, compared to the share price at the beginning of 2025, when Grupo Arcos still included its investment in Grupo Sura, represent an increase of 45% for ordinary shares and 47% for preferred shares. Slide four. The two bars show the series of transactions that from 2023 until the spin-off completed in July 2025, have transformed the structure of Grupo Arcos. Throughout this process, which included share swaps, the joint takeover bid for Nutresa, liquidation of Sociedad Portafolio, and spin-offs of Cementos Arcos and Grupo Arcos with Grupo Sura, the company converted a portfolio composed of 45 million shares of Grupo Nutresa and 131 million shares of Grupo Sura valued by, at that time by the market at 8.7 trillion pesos. This is in May 2023, in two concrete results for its shareholders. On the one hand, the cancellation of 156 million treasury shares, equivalent to 18% of its outstanding shares, and the direct delivery of 197 million shares in Grupo Sura. Overall, the value of this portfolio received by shareholders amounts to over 15 trillion pesos, an increase of over 70% compared to the starting point of these operations. In other words, Grupo Argos has not only moved towards a simpler structure that will enhance its future, but this transformation had also gone hand in hand by an appreciation that its shareholders can now perceive directly, both through the shares they now own in Grupo Sura and through an increase in their participation in Grupo Argos, derived from the cancellation of the treasury shares that I mentioned previously. On slide five, you can see the current composition of Grupo Argos' portfolio, which as of February 2026, amounted to 16.8 trillion pesos, calculated as the market value of listed assets on the one hand, and the carrying value of unlisted assets. Cementos Argos represents close to 8.2 trillion pesos, almost half of the portfolio, followed by Celsia with 2.9 trillion, Alisa with 2.4 trillion, the real estate business with 2.1 trillion pesos, and Pactia with around 1 trillion pesos. This is a portfolio that is 100% focused on infrastructure and construction materials, diversified by sectors and geographies, and with assets that generate stable and predictable cash flows. Today, we highlight the flexibility of Grupo Argos' balance sheet, and we can see Cementos Argos' cash position as a catalyst to capture profitable growth opportunities. In particular, Argos Materials, the aggregates platform with which Cementos Argos re-enters the United States market, is consolidated as a first step for profitable growth within an ambitious pipeline of projects. This portfolio, backed by a separate net debt of less than 1 trillion pesos at a ratio of 0.7 times net debt over EBITDA, provides the company with the ability to execute its business plan without to execute an ambitious business plan without compromising its financial strength. The company's vision in this new stage, that is 100% focused on infrastructure and building materials, was shared with our analysts and institutional investors on February 19 and 20 at our Investor Day, where together with the management teams of Cementos Argos, Celsia, Odisha, the real estate business, and Pactia, we covered the details of strategic advances, capital allocation, the growth goals, and the priorities defined to consolidate our roadmap towards 2030. All Investor Day material is available on our website for consultation by all our shareholders and the market at large. Now, let's move to slide six of our presentation. That summarizes the targets the company has set for 2030, structured around four main axes. First of all, to multiply the value of our portfolio by 1.9 times, taking Grupo Argos' arbitrage price per share from 21,000 pesos currently to over 40,000 pesos per share. Second, to multiply distributions to our shareholders by 2.3 times, going from a dividend of 6.88 per share to 1,000 pesos per share. And third, increase financial flexibility by reducing net debt from slightly over 1 trillion pesos to less than 300 billion pesos, which is a reduction of over 700 billion pesos. And fourth, deepen its asset management role by multiplying 3.7 times the assets under management that generate fees from around $1.2 billion currently to close to $4.6 billion. This goals reflect the conviction that profitable growth, discipline, and capital allocation as implication of the structure are the levers that will continue to enhance our investment portfolio. Along the same line of commitments to the transmission of value to our shareholders that I just mentioned, on slide seven, you can see the evolution of the share buyback program that Grupo Argos has promoted in the three listed companies of the business group. On a consolidated basis, this program has executed over 1.9 trillion pesos since its approval in 2023, generating a value of over 460 billion pesos for the company's shareholders when considering the average price at which the shares have been bought back and the current market prices of those shares. At Grupo Argos, nearly 27 million shares have been bought back under the current program for over 390 billion pesos at an average price of 11,084 pesos per ordinary share and 9,487 pesos per preferred share, generating an increase of 3.4% in ordinary share price and 2.4% in preferred share prices. This has been in addition to the shares that the company has received and canceled as a result of the transactions that put an end to the cross-holdings with Grupo Sura and Grupo Nutresa that I mentioned before that are equivalent to increases for shareholders by eliminating 196 million shares of close to 20%. Beyond the direct return that these programs have represented, their execution has been a catalyst for the liquidity and market depth of our shares. Since the start of the program, the trading volume of Grupo Argos' ordinary shares has tripled, and that of its preferred shares has multiplied by 33 times. Given the success of the current program, which expires in March 2026, the approval of a new buyback program for 500 billion pesos over the next 3 years will be proposed to the Grupo Argos shareholders' meeting. Over the last 2 years, Grupo Argos has consolidated close to 12 trillion pesos in income. In 2024, 7.6 trillion and 4.3 trillion in 2025, reflecting the company's capacity to generate value in its businesses and investments. Of note are the profits associated with the combination of assets between Argos US and Summit Materials and the gain from the exchange of shares of Grupo Nutresa that were recorded in 2024, and which they are added to the sale of Cementos Argos' stake in Summit Materials and the materialization of the investment in Grupo Sura in 2025. These produce the above-mentioned results. Although these are non-recurring operations that must be considered to analyze operating results, these are part of the company's work that continuously seeks to maximize the value of its portfolio for the benefit of its shareholders. Thus, analysis of the figures below also includes the evolution of recurring earnings from our businesses, which is the most accurate indicator of operating performance rather than simply the consolidated figures without adjustments for non-operating items. For details of the main adjustments to be considered for 2024 and 2025, please see slide on page 8 of your presentation. Looking at the consolidated results for 2025, Grupo Argos booked revenues of 11.7 trillion pesos, a 7% reduction compared to 2024, an EBITDA of 2.9 trillion pesos, 10% year-on-year growth, and an EBITDA margin of 25%, 400 basis points above 2024. Income of 4.3 trillion pesos, and net income to the majority shareholder of 2.8 trillion pesos. When looking at the pro forma financial statements, making the adjustments mentioned above, EBITDA has grown 60% and consolidated net income was 1.1 trillion pesos, 3.4 times greater than in 2024. Regarding the separated financial statements for Grupo Argos, it recorded revenues of 2.5 trillion pesos and EBITDA of 1.8 trillion pesos and a net profit of 4.6 trillion pesos, which is historic for the company, which includes 3.2 trillion in income corresponding to the closure of the spin-off project, which represents growth of 84% compared to the 2.5 trillion pesos in income in 2024, which, when incorporating the non-recurring profits described above, becomes the second consecutive year in which Grupo Argos achieves historical income levels. As in the consolidated financial statements, when adjusting and looking only at the results derived from our own recurring operations, it is evident that the separated pro forma revenues for 2025 were 1 trillion pesos, growing 86% year on year. EBITDA was 694 billion pesos, 4 times higher than in 2024, and net income was 449 billion. Pesos, 11 times higher than pro forma results for 2024. In summary, although the results for the year show effects from extraordinary transactions, the material profits from investments actively managed for years, when adjusted for these effects, the operating results of the infrastructure business are solid and show growth compared to comparable figures in 2024. This is confirmed by the fact that after the spin-off, the company received ratification from credit rating institutions on a credit rating of AAA, the highest on the local scale by BRC Ratings, S&P Global, and Fitch Ratings, which is a sign of the structural soundness of our indebtedness. I would now like to invite you to look at the results of our businesses on the slide that's on page 12. Cementos Argos ended 2025 with a clear focus on the profitability of its operations and the transmission of value to its shareholders. During the year, the company distributed ordinary and extraordinary dividends of close to 1 trillion pesos, executed over 1 trillion in buybacks, including 65.6 million shares at a price of 30,659 pesos per share, equivalent to 5% of its outstanding shares, and spun off its shares in Grupo Sura for a total of 3.5 trillion pesos in distributions to its shareholders. Grupo Argos participated in the buyback mechanism and received cash revenues of 493 billion pesos, which it used to reduce its net indebtedness. In parallel, the company made progress in re-entering the U.S. market with the creation of Argos Materials, its aggregate export platform aimed at the coastal markets of the Gulf of Mexico and the southeast of the country, where there is a structurally unmet demand for a product that offers better margins and higher multiples than cement and concrete. During the fourth quarter, the operation was ready for test shipments, and quality results were obtained that maintain the DOT certification process in the destination states. The company plans to develop a potential production of over 10 million tons per year and an incremental EBITDA, which we expect will be close to $200 million by 2030. With these achievements, Cementos Argos successfully ended its Sprint 3.0 program, and with the presentation of its results in 2025, the company announced the launch of a new program called Sprint 4.0, which focuses on consolidating its presence in the United States and increasing its stock's liquidity. The program plans to, as was mentioned previously, plans to maintain an EBITDA margin of between 24% and 26%, bring EBITDA of its operations in Latin America to close to $400 million, and raise its return on capital employed above 60%, distribute close to 720 billion in dividends this year, and launch and scale the aggregates platform to between 2 million and 3 million tons with positive EBITDA as early as 2027. The company is also closely monitoring developments in Venezuela. Cementos Argos has the experience, the relevant experience in that market and in that industry, and it has the capabilities required to resume its position in that country and to continue to advance in the judicial process of claiming the expropriation of its assets in 2006, which has never been paid nor recognized, with the openness to explore all alternatives to achieve effective compensation and to play an active role in the reconstruction of a country that has very high growth potential in construction and infrastructure as part of its reconstruction process. Moving on to the financial results for the year. Cementos Argos recorded consolidated revenues of 5.1 trillion pesos, 3% lower than the previous year, but with an adjusted EBITDA after eliminating non-recurring activities of 1.28 trillion pesos, growing 7%, reaching a margin of 25%, which is 215 basis points higher than the previous year. In the fourth quarter, revenue was 1.3 trillion pesos, a reduction of 2.5% compared to the same period in 2024, and adjusted EBITDA stood at 347 billion pesos with a 27.2% margin. In turn, volumes showed signs of stabilization. Cement shipments reached 2.1 million tons, 3% growth compared to the fourth quarter of 2024, while concrete shipments stood at 599,000 cubic meters, growing 2%. The recovery of the industry in Colombia accelerated throughout, especially at the end of the year, while strong economic fundamentals supported high consumption in Honduras and Guatemala, and demand remained stable and dynamic in the Dominican Republic. The company maintains a disciplined, efficient operation with a robust financial position, which allows it to continue focused on capturing growth opportunities in its key markets and generating sustainable value for all its shareholders. Now, please turn to the results of the energy business on slide 14. Celsia ended 2025, capitalizing on the normalization of weather conditions with more efficient and profitable generation, supported by greater water supply and lower thermal requirements. There is a great difference in the makeup of generation in 2024 and 2025. 2024 was more thermal, with higher costs, and in 2025, there was greater hydro generation that provides improved margins, as we'll see below. During the year, the company put into operation Carreto, its first wind farm in Colombia, with an installed capacity of 9.6 megawatts, located near to the city of Barranquilla. This project demonstrates the potential of the wind resource in regions beyond La Guajira and reinforces the organization's commitment to diversifying its energy matrix through unconventional renewable sources. C2 Energía, the investment vehicle that develops and builds solar farms of more than 8 megawatt capacities, ended the year with 480 megawatt potential in operation, which generated 544 gigawatt hours of energy, 7% higher than in 2024, as a result of the maturation of the portfolio and its operational management. In addition, it has a pipeline of 112 megawatt potential currently under construction and 410 megawatt potential in early stages of development, which will allow it to, before 2027, achieve the goal that we had given ourselves of having built and installed 1 gigawatt of operational solar capacity in Colombia. On the international front, Celsia advanced in the development of its renewable portfolio, which has invested over $1.2 billion in Peru. The 2018 megawatt Caravelí wind farm is 68% complete. It will come into operation in the second half of 2026. In addition, in that country, the Hidromanta hydroelectric plant is in operation and delivering energy through Solaris Energy, Celsia's marketer in Peru that serves basically the industrial segment. Likewise, the company announced the creation of Atera in partnership with Brookfield, which designs, finances, installs, and operates energy efficiency solutions for industries and trade. This platform was aboard with over 500 active customers, an investment plan of over $500 million by 2030. It contributed to reducing Sacyr's net debt by close to 400 billion pesos. With the launch of this company, the assets under management of the energy business manager reach approximately $1.67 billion. On the commercial front, Sacyr served over 1.3 million customers and delivered over 3,900 GWh during the year. Now let's look at Sacyr's financial results, which during the year received 5.4 trillion in consolidated revenue. EBITDA was 1.7 trillion pesos, 0.12%, and an EBITDA margin of 31%, 900 basis points above levels for 2024. In the fourth quarter, consolidated revenue stood at 1.3 trillion pesos, and EBITDA was 345 billion with a 28% margin. The year-over-year reduction in revenue is mainly due to price normalization and improved hydro generation compared to a 2024 that was impacted by the El Niño phenomenon. At the end of 2025, Sacyr's consolidated net debt stood at 4.68 trillion pesos with a net debt EBITDA ratio of 2.8x. The company plans to bring its debt below 3.8 trillion pesos in 2026. I would like to invite you to look at the results statement for Odisha. This can be found on slide 16. Odisha closed 2025 consolidating its evolution as an investment platform in road and airport concessions together with Macquarie Asset Management. On the airport platform, El Dorado International Airport mobilized 45 million passengers in the year, a slight reduction compared to 2024, but capturing a higher proportion of international passengers and remaining the main hub for connecting passengers and cargo in Latin America. In a consolidated manner, the airports managed by Odisha mobilized 50 million passengers. On average, one Colombian moves through one of our airports once per year. The El Dorado MAX project advanced in its feasibility phase with an estimated investment of 10 trillion pesos to expand capacity to 67 million passengers per year. It's expected in 2026, the feasibility advancing in the award process between 2027 and 2028 will be approved. Added to this commitment is a private initiative of the new Cartagena Airport with an initial capacity of 11 million passengers and an estimated investment of 6 trillion pesos. This will complement the airport assets of this country to convert it into a regional and global connection hub. On the roadway front, the platform recorded average daily traffic of 112,000 vehicles in 2025, growing 4% compared to the previous year. The second phase of the Túnel de Oriente completed its financial closure for 1.8 trillion pesos, and its execution is progressing at over 20%. During the year, the Fernando Botero roadway interchange was commissioned in advance, which optimizes connectivity between Túnel de Oriente, the airport, and the municipalities of Río Negro and Guarne. A key milestone in 2025 was the creation of Olinsa Aguas, a platform which, as we had announced, is an investment vehicle in water infrastructure that complements its roadway and airport operations. As a first step, a contract was signed to acquire Tixa in Mexico for approximately $84 million. This is a company with more than 40 years' experience, a presence in 20 states, and an EBITDA of close to $29 million in 2024. This acquisition, which we expect to be completed in or concluded in coming weeks, will be funded primarily by dividends received from Opaín and Keyport in 2025. Including process from the successful debt restructuring of Quito Airport, the Mariscal Sucre Airport, comprised of a $200 million syndicated loan and $300 million in international bonds, which registers an overdemand of 7.5 times. This issuance obtained a B rating from Fitch and Standard & Poor's, which is higher than Ecuador's sovereign bonds, which reflects the international market's trust in Olisa's management and in the strength of an asset that has been consecutively positioned as the best regional airport in South America, according to Skytrax. On the financial front, Odinsa presented solid results, driven largely by the higher valuation recorded by the equity method of the private equity fund associated with higher asset values due to the second stage of the Túnel de Oriente. Consolidated revenue in 2025 stood at 292 billion pesos, a growth of 46% compared to 2024, while EBITDA was 190 billion, an increase of 68%. Consolidated net income amounted to 148 billion pesos, an increase of 65% year on year. Moving on to operating results, in the fourth quarter, the roadway platform recorded a total traffic of 10.9 million vehicles, growth of 3% compared to the same period of the previous year. Of note is the growth in Autopista del Café and Pacifico Todos, both of which grew 6%, and Túnel de Oriente, which grew 5%. In the airport platform, total passenger traffic during the quarter reached 12.5 million passenger, of which 11.1 million correspond to the El Dorado airport. Although Opaid recorded, as I mentioned before, a 9% reduction in passengers explained by a change in airline seat supply strategies, its financial performance was positive, with 33% growth in EBITDA and 85% growth in net income, thanks to better fares and higher unregulated revenue. In turn, Keyport mobilized 1.3 million passengers, a growth of 5%, and inaugurated at the end of the year the expansion works of the airport for $74 million that will expand its processing capacity from 5 to over 7 million passengers per year. In the real estate returns business, you can detail this slide. Effective gross revenue was 125 billion pesos, growing 32% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was 65 billion pesos, with an increase of 93% year-on-year. However, after adjusting for divestments, effective gross revenue and EBITDA decreased by 1%. In terms of the same assets for the accumulated year, effective gross revenue and EBITDA grew 7% and 8% compared to 2024. It should be highlighted that at the end of the period, the fund had a non-hotel portfolio occupancy of 97%, representing an increase of  360 basis points compared to the previous quarter. So far this year, with a cutoff of December 2025, contracts for 121,000 square kilometers were renewed, and new contracts for 74,000 square meters were placed. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2024, the commercial sector recorded the highest growth in effective gross revenue, with an increase of 11.4%, followed by the office sector, with an increase of 6.5%. In the retail area, sales per square meter of brands grew 5.7% year-on-year, while total traffic remained stable. As for the hotel segment, RevPAR growth of 33% was recorded compared to the fourth quarter of 2024, standing at 228,000 pesos. This result is mainly attributed to an increase in the occupancy of Moments 26 in Bogotá, which grew from 50%-69%. Finally, the fund continues to actively manage its capital structure optimization. I want to highlight that over the last 12 months, Bactia has reduced its debt stock by 12%, closing the year with a loan-to-value ratio of 28.9%, which is equal to a reduction of 520 basis points compared to 2024. I invite you now to briefly move on to the real estate business figures, which can be found on slide 20 of your presentation. During the fourth quarter of 2025, the real estate business had cash revenues of 150 billion pesos, an increase of 82% compared to the fourth quarter of 2024. With these results, the year ended with cash flow revenues of close to 250 billion pesos and a net cash flow of 70 billion pesos, which is 14% higher than figures for the previous year. EBITDA for the quarter was positive and higher than that recorded in the same period of the previous year, from a negative result in 2024 to a consolidated EBITDA of 49 billion in 2025. During the quarter, two lots were deeded in Barranquilla, which added to the sales of other periods, allowed the year to end with 186 billion in non-social housing businesses in Barranquilla, and transactions that introduced 1,710 new housing units to the market. In Barú, the investment cycle in the Sofitel Barú Cartagena was completed with the sale of our stake, which provided an annual effective return of 16% for us. From a strategic perspective, Sofitel fulfilled its role as a key anchor of Grupo Argos' 1,100-hectare master plan on this island, helping to close three additional land deals for hotel projects in Barú, and this highlights the potential of the Barú Island as one of the most attractive tourist destinations in the region. On the sustainability front, in terms of climate change, I am happy to confirm that we fulfilled the commitments we had made for 2030 as a business group in advance. On one hand, we achieved 40% reduction in CO2 equivalent emissions intensity per million pesos of consolidated revenue. Simultaneously, we achieved a 64% reduction in absolute emissions compared to a target we had given ourselves of 37%. These results were complemented by recognition that we received in the S&P Global 2026 Yearbook, where Cementos Argos was included in the top 1%, top 1% of construction, of global construction materials industries with a score of 86 points over 100. Grupo Argos is placed in the top 5% with 84 over 100. Celsia, the top 10% of electricity companies with 85 over 100 points. Alisa was made a member of the Yearbook for the first time with 71 over 100. In addition, Grupo Argos has consolidated its position in the top 10 of Merco XG for the sixth consecutive year, ranking sixth on this occasion. These recognitions encourage us and reaffirm that sustainability is a competitive advantage that supports financial results and strengthen the confidence of institutional investors in our organization. To close, and finally, as is public knowledge, this will be my final earnings call as CEO of Grupo Argos. I would like to thank, deeply thank all the shareholders, analysts who have accompanied us over the years and whose trust has been fundamental to execute, together with a marvelous team, the roadmap that we drew up in 2016. With great satisfaction, I must say that we completely fulfilled the commitments and the targets that we had given ourselves. Grupo Argos is now prepared, deleveraged, focused, with a pipeline of projects that is powerful in fundamental industries that are very powerful and hand in hand with a marvelous human team that can move this company to a new stage to continue to create value for all its shareholders and for the community at large. I'd like to take advantage of this moment to deeply thank Alejandro Piedrahita, the company's CFO, who is here to my left, with whom I also was lucky enough to walk down this path for the last 10 years to build a great part of the company's strategy and to develop the strategy that you can see materialized in facts and in data. This has been done impeccably at a dedicated manner, a professional manager manner, with superlative energy, and we have been able to materialize the achievements that are being expressed here. I also had the privilege of being accompanied by an exceptional human being throughout this period, which makes me doubly happy. I want to publicly also thank him, reiterate my admiration, my affection, for the great professional, and the great human being he has been throughout this time, and I wish him the best in his future life. We close the presentation with this, and I'd like to give the floor to Carolina to receive any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Jorge. I remind you all that you can ask your questions
through the Q&A session enabled on the Zoom platform. The first question comes from Santiago Villanueva. There are three questions. The first one asks, what is the expectation of the ROE and the net profit of the company for 2026? What are our expectations regarding the Paktia business? And the third question is if we could give him more information regarding the plan the Mexican government has to empower the water treatment business in this company and how Odinsa would benefit.
Thank you very much, Santiago.
I'm going to share the answers so that we can hear from people who know for this. So I'm going to ask Alejandro to update us on the expectations on ROE and net income expectations for Andrés Bejarano for the question expectation of Paktia. I'd like to ask Mauricio, who has good knowledge of the investment on Aguas from Mexico. So can we, so thank you very much. First of all, I would like to start by explaining the evolution of the ROE in 2025. It's very important that on a level of the separated equity and what have moved from 18 trillion to 11 trillion, when we compare that with the profit that was generated in the separated balance sheet, which was close to 0.3 trillion pesos, that says that our ROE was close to 42%, which is important for equity. So obviously, there are special transactions, a little of what we have tried to focus on in many of our conversations, and which are related to the variable compensation of executives with indicators that are more focused on return on invested capital. ROIC last year was 10.5% with a capital cost of 9.9%. So the company is generating volume, which is of the order of close to 60 basis points. The strategic objective of this company is that ROIC is above 200 basis points, which is the best practice internationally. As regards projected figures for 2026, our ROIC target is close to 11%, 10.6%-11% of ROIC, and maintaining a capital cost, which we think will be close to 9.9%-10%. So the goal is to move from 60 basis points to 100 basis points of value generation of return on invested capital. That is goal for 2026, and ROIC is the metric that we're using in the company rather than ROE. It's important. Okay, Andrés.
Hello. Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, all of you. To talk about the perspectives of Paktia, we need to understand the context that we are in. This real estate returns business has different cycles, and the cycle that we're undergoing right now of high interest rates has some implications. The main one of these is that the existing assets, the good assets, can have better returns because of the cost of money and the cost of a business more difficult, or there are less new projects than have existed traditionally, and occupations in the sector and prices are very good. And so this favors Paktia with its stabilized assets, and we are trying to increase returns on those assets so that we can so the fund could achieve certain indicators that could make us a very attractive option when interest rates open up the field for new investors to move into this business. This is cyclical. We have very good assets right now, but it's difficult to attract investment. But since everything goes up and down, then this cycle will invert, will reverse, and there will be more and more capital to invest in this. And that's where we're becoming positioned to be the most attractive option for anyone who wants to become a part of a private real estate equity fund. And finally, we are selecting the assets that we want to divest in. And the money from this has two main usages. This is one for paying debt and two for moving into better assets, and that will improve the fund's yields. And the return on debt, the reduction of debt that was mentioned before is allowing us to improve our annual cash generation, and that improves the fund's indicators and returns for investors. Thank you. Thank you, Andrés. And finally, Mauricio, if you could give us your point of view on the plans, the overall plans for the management of water resources. Thank you very much, Jorge Mario. Thank you, Santiago, for your question. The policy and the new law that is moving through Congress in Mexico for water is favorable for a company like Dicsa that over so many years has accumulated important experience. This policy has three focuses. The first one is cleaning rivers. And treatment, water treatment is going to be fundamental for this, and the level of demands for spills into rivers are spills into rivers is going to be very high. That hardens policies for use and disposal of water by large industries, and this means that a professional provider of this type of services will have a greater free flow of action. And as regards water concessions, wish to clarify, let's remember that we are not a part of water concessions, but we are contributing water to the system through reuse and treatment. This has a direct impact on agricultural industry, not on other industries. So is a policy that is very favorable to us. On the other hand, the Mexican government is interested in promoting nine industrial zones and to create conditions on the border. And this goes to the question that Jorge Mario asked, and this is providing water to the large-scale industries that are being installed in the country. Today, on the northern border between Mexico and the United States, there's a current treaty that obliges the United States to supply water during part of the year and Mexico during other part of the year. And water stress has been such that there are a number of investments that are being implemented there to make sure that water is not a restriction for large industry. So finally, the policy is favorable to someone like Dicsa, which has a history of over 200 water treatment plants. It currently operates at 10, which is what we're acquiring in the first phase, but they have an experience of over 200 water treatment plants throughout the country. The question is from Gabriel Perez, Credicorp, and he asks us, what do we expect from the impact on equity regarding the profit of since we give the floor to Jorge Andrés Betancourt, who has done preliminary estimation of this cost, so he can talk about. Thank you very much. Well, the causation of equity tax will be on 1st March 2026. The estimations The net fiscal equity of Grupo Argos consolidated will be around 3 trillion pesos. In the case of separated Grupo Argos, we're estimating an impact of 9 billion pesos. These will be paid during 2026, a single time in two installments in April and May this year.
Thank you very much, Jorge. The next question is also from Gabriel from Credicorp, and he asks us if in the other business of the hotel segment of Bahru on the land that Bahru, we have the same structure we have for Sofitel, and how long do we expect to receive return on these? I would like to take this as a question. As I mentioned, Sofitel was a specific structure, the first important investment after Decameron, which was a sale to bring effect to approve the top-level hotels could be built with mostly American and European guests at a global brand which met its objectives and, as you know, is a very marvelous and unique hotel. The purpose of this was, once again, it was proof of concept. It was, and we wanted to generate other models where basically what Grupo Argos wants to do is an ordered divestment and maximizing the value of development plan for the islands, never discarding the possibility of repeating this kind of process. But I would like to give the floor to Eric, and you could tell us a little bit more about this. But yes, good morning. Regarding the question, Sofitel was the only business that we had under this structure. The other businesses had a traditional form of payment, a pure cash out, and more or less from 12-24 months related to that form of payment. Moving forward, we would be willing to contemplate a Sofitel type transaction. It achieved its purposes and much more, and if we could replicate the conditions of the business, a sale of liquidity would be close to 8% after signing of the promise of sale. It would have a construction process, and then a period would have a permanence clause. We'd be talking more or less 7 to 8 years if we were to replicate the precise conditions of that business deal.
Thank you very, Eric. We have the final question from Thibault Londoño of Valores Bancolombia, and he asks us if we could explain what progress in materials we're expecting in 2026 for developing new projects in the Odesa pipeline, specifically for El Dorado Max and the different roadway concessions and the Argos platform, the waters platform. Mauricio?
Yes, Arvario, Simón. It's important for your question to understand that the evaluation process, which is where those four programs stand, have their four chapters. In the case of El Dorado Max, all the technical questions and financial questions have been answered. When I say all of them, it's around 6,000 questions. Those chapters are being closed, and we would now move on to looking at risks and legal. And in parallel, we're incorporating all technical requests that entities like the Ministry of Trade, DIAN, Police, Infrastructure, Aerocivil, Colombia Migration, etc., require. And in summary, this means that the whole evaluation process for El Dorado Max should end around the third quarter, and the tender should be issued around the fourth quarter of this year. In the case of Cartagena,
We have closed two of the components. The technical component is almost completed. We're working on financial and risks. During 2026, maybe the third or fourth quarter, we plan to finish the evaluation process to move on to a tender. In the case of the La Sabana roadway, all four chapters have been closed. We're waiting for the report of the evaluator, and after that, we will have to start on a process of entering into agreements with the two municipalities for maintenance, and then we would move on to the tender. If all of this works out, this could happen at the end of the first half of the year. In Central, this has been received by the National Infrastructure Agency. We have showed the Infrastructure Agency a couple of scenarios that they requested that will be part of their evaluation, and we think that it should move on to the tendering process towards the end of this year. In conclusion, these four initiatives between the third and fourth quarter, these should be moving on to the tendering process the third, fourth semester. We have two additional questions from BTG. The first is regarding the EBITDA multiple calculated for TICSA. It's asking if this multiple is in line with other transactions that we're looking at in the water section. The second question from Juan José is what risks we see regarding the progress of infrastructure process in a case the current government is maintained over the next 4 years. Do you want, Pablo? You can take the question of the multiples, please. And Mauricio, you can take the other one. Perfect, Jorge. That multiple is on the lower range of an expected multiple for this type of transaction with this type of asset. Let's remember that TICSA is a portfolio of BOT contracts with an average terms of 10 years. These are finite flows over time, so that multiple is consistent with the duration of those flows. Additionally, in 2024, there was a recovery of a portfolio in one of those BOTs that had an extraordinary impact on TICSA's EBITDA. 5.4, to ask you, is low, but what is normalized because of the extraordinary EBITDA in 2024, and when it's normalized due to the duration of its portfolio, then it will be within the expected range for this type of transaction and this type of asset. Mauricio, do you want to comment on the future of the infrastructure in different political scenarios? Juan José, more than speculating on the political scenarios, I would say a number of things. The first is that the Infrastructure Law 1508, which give rise to the LEAP and concession processes, including private initiatives, is still current and has had no modifications. Particularly over the past 3.5 years, the government has honored its obligations as regards risks, as regards financial issues, et cetera. So we have an applicable policy. The second is that over these last 4 years, the country has lost dynamics in its capacity for structuring new projects. And so the fifth generation of concessions has two-thirds of private initiatives versus public initiatives. And the third is that Odisha's projects are national, are projects of the national interest. An increase in El Dorado's capacities is very important, as is a new airport for the Caribbean region, especially in Cartagena, so it could drive development. And there are other sectors of the economy that can grow, including tourism. So I think that these projects
that are reaching their final status will be projects that, in general, will be well received by the country and by the any changes that may arise in the political dynamics moving forward. I think that's very well covered, Mauricio. I would simply say to Juan Jose's question, it is, first of all, this organization has is very robust capacity, not just in roadway projects, also large airport projects. No matter the government, they will be very favorable to the fact that private investments can cover the great capital requirements of these projects. When we just look at the two airport projects, we're looking at 16 trillion pesos in investments. Think of doing that with public resources when you could do it equally or even more efficiently with private resources is a decision that could favor the ongoing nature of private initiatives to enable growth of infrastructure. And public resources can be dedicated to cover issues that cannot be delegated by the states, including education, among others. I would also say that today ODINSA has a pipeline of important projects in Colombia, but it also has the possibility to do business in other territories in the region. The case of Tixa and Waters is a materialization of an enormous opportunity in a business that is similar to the concession business that requires great capital, and mostly in dollars, long-term, where ODINSA now has a platform in Mexico, but it could also develop other projects in the region. So, like Mauricio said, beyond speculating on the political future resulting from this year's elections, no matter the government that comes in, I think that the concession system will offer a great opportunity to leverage and to grow infrastructure in the country based on the strengths of public-private and fully private initiatives. Thank you, Jorge. We have no more questions. So once again, thank you very much for your questions, for accompanying us. We hope you have a great day. And here is the team that is fully available to answer any other questions you may have. Thank you very much. Have a good day.